Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy.
So good. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, sit down right now in this place. Hover and cover and saturate every person that's listening to this. All those under the sound of my voice, whether it's today or it's another day in the archives. There are just certain days where I feel your pleasure and how much you love Jesus. And I pray today, Lord, that we would have tender hearts, open eyes, ready to receive this revelation and to stand on it, especially in this hour as new covenant New Testament believers who I believe are in the end times, when your word declares that they, that's us, overcame him, the devil, by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. And I pray that we would not lay down this weapon of your blood in this hour. And Lord, that it, even on a personal level, we would have more fellowship with your blood than we ever have. We thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. We thank you that you did that once and for all. And today we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I had Anastasia put this graphic up here, and we used this last year, but I want to look at it one more time today just as I begin this message. But in the Old Testament, when the Lord gave the instruction to Moses on what to build for his presence to reside with them, this is what he instructed him to make. And it's called the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a box, and I'm not going to go into all of the symbolism of it, but some of it I will. These poles running along the bottom was so that sinful man, priests who had an instruction to get clean and to go through a ceremonially clean procedure, it was very specific. You need to wash at the laver and the water. So you need to get clean before you even do the sacrifice of the blood. You need to have clean clothes on, white garments, linen. So in other words, no sweat, no human bodily excretions. You need to be clean. This represents the washing of the word that happens to us as the word begins to wash us. And then, after they did that, the sacrifice would be made of an unblemished lamb, one without spot or blemish. And that blood would then be taken through the holy place. So you have the outer court, and then you have the holy place. And in the holy place, they would stop in there. There were three parts to the tabernacle. In the holy place, there was the lampstand, which we know in the Hebrew nationality, it is the menorah. And that was to be lit at all times. It was never to go out. This represents Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that he would be the manifestation of the seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit, or the seven spirits of God. the spirit of wisdom, of understanding, of counsel, of might, and the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. All seven would be in him. So we see Jesus in the Old Testament, the foreshadowing of Jesus. He is the light of the world. He is the lampstand, full of the Spirit of God, the one whose light can never be snuffed out. On the table, there was a table there that had showbread on it. And this bread was to be fresh every day, not stale. It had to be taken out and brought in fresh every day, which represents the presence of the Lord fresh in our life every day. That we're not to get stale in our relationship with the Lord. He came, and Jesus came, and he said, I'm the bread of heaven that has come down. That bread represented him in his presence in our life. He said, I'm the bread of life. Amen? So there in the holy place, the priest would stop and honor the light of the world and the bread of his presence. And then he would go from there to what was called the golden altar of incense. And one day I'll teach on this because it's powerful what the ingredients were in that incense. But there, there's nothing vile, not even a smell, that could make it into this place. Sin stinks. And he didn't want anything foul before his presence. And so there at the golden altar of incense, the priest would stop. And at this point, he had a chain around his, he had a cuff around his ankle and a chain attached to it. And other priests who weren't going in there, and by the way, they did this once a year, only once. They could go into the holy place every day, but they couldn't go into this place right here, but once a year. And the other priest would stay in the holy place, a hold of the chain, and this priest, who knew his position and his role and how powerful this was, knew he had to go into this place once a year, and he had to take the blood of an unblemished lamb with him. He had to be clean. He had to have respected the bread, the presence of the Lord, and his person. And if he did all that right, he would take this beautiful smelling incense, which the Bible says that we as believers, our lives are a fragrance unto the Lord. And he would take that incense and that blood, and he would walk into this place. And the only way a person could be near the holiness of God, a sinful man, was to hold on to the very ends of the ark. But he couldn't touch it. Because if sinful flesh touched the presence of a holy God before the blood of Jesus, he would drop dead. So he would come in there and he would stand back and he would sprinkle the blood. You see those two cherubim with their wings facing each other? That's called the mercy seat. Right above there. Below that, inside that little box, is something where it had the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. The law reveals your sinfulness and brings judgment. And there was also Aaron's rod that budded. And I'm not going to go into all the symbolism of that, but there were two things in there. So in other words, when you come into the presence of the Lord in the Old Testament, you're faced with the judgment of God, the revelation of your sin, but sitting above that, which is it's symbolic of what Jesus would one day do. He would become our mercy seat. Because mercy always triumphs over judgment. So the blood would be put on the mercy seat, satisfying the judgment of God for another year. And because of that blood, all of God's people would be covered, just covered, for 1 year. Prior to this ceremony, when the unblemished lamb was sacrificed, there would be a goat, a scapegoat. And before that priest went in there, he would have the sins of the people all put on the scapegoat. And then he would send the scapegoat out into the wilderness, which was symbolic of the goat is represents rebellion and sin, but it also represents that the Lord would one day remove our sin. So what they got was the removal of sin for 1 year and the covering of sin for 1 year. And they had to do it every year on the Day of Atonement. And this blood would bring the people of God into unity with him for 1 year and prevent judgment and plague and wrath and all this other stuff breaking out. And here's what he told them in Leviticus 17:10. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. This is Old Testament. So I'm giving you blood because it represents life. This animal's life is going to give you life for 1 year. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. So powerful. There is no atonement. There is no at, if you look at that word, it's at one. At one meant. There is no being unified with the Lord, your soul being brought into divine alignment with him, and there is no life for you without the blood. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? There is only one thing that can give your soul life forever, and that is the life found in the blood of one sacrifice, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. Drop the mic. Right? That's it. That's why when I'm praying for somebody that doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, I just start pleading the blood. When the devil has them all bound up, I start pleading the blood. I start releasing the blood because the blood is terrifying to the devil. The blood has been testifying of the life of God from the very beginning. Blood. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 9, he, this is Jesus, entered once and for all into the holy places. So I just showed you the graphic. We had an earthly priest that could do this once a year if he did everything right according to God's standard, and it worked with the blood of bulls and goats. The Bible says that Jesus is our high priest forever. This is why we do not have to go to an earthly priest to get our sins atoned for. We do not have to confess our sins to an earthly priest. We have religious organizations that make priests like gods, and they are not gods. You might confess your sins one to another that you might be healed, but it doesn't say that you might be saved. There's healing when we confess our sins, but there's only one high priest that we confess our sins to, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So he says, he He entered once and for all, where? Into the heavenlies. So when he died on the cross, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was spilling the blood of himself, an unblemished lamb. That's why we call him the Lamb of God, that was slain before the foundation of the earth. In fact, that plan had already, it was already in place before the foundation of the world. Jesus didn't come here and then decide to spill his blood. He already had a plan to spill his blood in the event that man made a mistake, so that once and for all, he could take care of that and redeem his people back unto himself. Thank you, Lord. Right? It says that he didn't do this by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. That ought to make you shout. So, folks, it's not how many tracts you pass out. It's not how many prayer meetings you attend. It's not how many doors you knock on. It is not about the disciplines or even the witnessing. You can witness until your brains fall out and your tongue falls out about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should. But no amount of witnessing about him can get your soul into heaven without his blood, without you believing that he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. That's it. Amen? The Hebrew writer also said in Hebrews 9:22, indeed, under the law, okay, so when we say under the law, this is under the Old Testament covenant, prior to Jesus coming and spilling his blood once and for all, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Here's what we have as promises. Under the law, almost everything was purified. Under the new covenant, everything is purified. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You just need to let it sit on you. Because there's days when our thought life isn't pure. There's days when our behavior isn't pure. There's days when we don't have a pure heart. But the good news is, when heaven looks at you, it doesn't see the judgment of God against your life. It sees the blood of Jesus, your mercy seat. And that's how God sees you. And everything that's happening within your heart and life, you should be so grateful, because he's in a process of washing you. He's in a process of purifying your thought life. He's in a process of purifying your heart. Amen? He's in a process of purifying your life so that you can become more and more like him. You can go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, until you become more Christ-like. The blood of Jesus silences the voice of guilt and condemnation. And you need to use it often. Romans 3:23-27 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. I just want to stop right there. Dad did this. Dad presented his son because they were in agreement that this was the plan. He presented him as the sacrifice so that we could be justified. What is justified? It means your sins are removed just as if they never happened. There was an old song that says, what sin? The person's talking about all their sin, and it's a conversation where the Lord says, what sin? I have removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. I don't even remember it anymore. Right? Thank God. I mean, come on, holla back. Y'all asleep this morning? It's good news. I love to hear about the blood of Jesus. It never grows old for me. It's not like, yeah, I know that. We need to have a continual revelation of the blood of the Lord, of the Lamb over our life. Because the enemy works overtime in the area of condemnation and guilt. And if he can keep you weighed down with that stuff, where you aren't testifying of the blood and you aren't moving forward from the things that the Lord has delivered you from, and you don't say, hey, you know what? The Lord delivered me by his blood from that. And I may be in a struggle, but that struggle is going to be overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? If you don't know that, you will live weighted down. And it says he did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Even in the Old Testament, think about this. He left the sins unpunished. In other words, he held all those who were only under the covering of the blood of bulls and goats. He left them in an area that said, my wrath will not be poured out upon them until the blood of Jesus is spilled, and then he will atone for the sins all the way back to Adam and Eve and all the way into glory. That's how good he is. And it says he so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. Because of the law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. We are under a different law. Aren't you glad? There's no way to boast. The Bible says, you know, no one can boast. Because you didn't do anything except for believe. And if you're going to boast in anything, just walk around going, I believed in Jesus. Look at me now. Right? This is why they became so puffed up. I didn't covet today, liar. You just broke two. You lied and you coveted. Right? But they just walked around as they could maybe accomplish one of the laws, you know, like, I'm a law keeper. And this is what Paul's saying. You guys boasted because you could keep a few laws, but you rejected him. The greatest law of all, which is the law of faith. See, the law of faith takes all of your efforts and all of your works and says, all of it's filthy rags to him. None of it could make you righteous. None of it could truly make you at one with him. And even those of you who died under the law, who kept the law really, really well, you still were being held from the judgment of God based on the mercy of God until Jesus came. You didn't even have a chance to get to meet him and to know what he would one day do for you. But you got held by his mercy, and one day you will see him face to face and you will realize none of your law keeping over there kept you from the judgment of God when you meet him at the day of judgment. It was only the blood of the Lamb that you will worship forever and ever and ever around his throne that did that for you. Woo! So, if you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a not guilty, not condemned verdict. Because Christ Jesus took your guilt and shame upon himself at the cross. He took your punishment and made you free from sin's bondage. I love Romans 8:1. It says, I love subtitles. It says, escape from bondage. Therefore there is now. Aren't you glad it says, therefore there will not be? Right now. No condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. The enemy is constantly putting condemnation, putting guilt, putting shame. I love what Joel Osteen says. He says, when the devil says shame on you, you should say, Jesus took shame off of me. You should hear him saying, shame off of you. When your conscience condemns you, you have to raise up the truth of the blood. Because again, the blood of Jesus silences guilt and condemnation. Jesus paid the price for sin, guilt, sickness, disease, pain, mental suffering, and shame on the cross with his blood. And his blood made you whole, healed, and free. Hallelujah. He put his blood covering over you so that you would have life and be protected from the destroyer. And I love this as I end this. We're gonna receive and fellowship with the Lord, communion here in a minute. But my dad, Reverend Ira Edward Chalk, made me memorize this in the King James Version. And he would make me quote it to him often. But today, Daddy, I love you. I'm going to read it to you in the Message. God, hallelujah, Jesus. He went to heaven before the Message came out, so. Daddy thought if you didn't read the King James, you were just on your way to being a heretic. But the reason Daddy spent so much time here in Isaiah 53 is, first of all, he showed me Jesus in every book of the Bible. And I've promised you that one day I will take teachings from Marilyn Hickey's book called Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. And I think it might be this coming year where we just really, because we're doing Bible study, where we really look at it. But in Isaiah 53, Daddy loved prophecy, because prophecy was divine revelation given to a sinful man about a coming Savior, and it was a foretelling of things to come. And if Jesus didn't fulfill every prophecy to the T, then he was a false prophet. He was a false Messiah. He wasn't who he said he was. And so Dad would take me to this, and he'd say, right here in this passage, this talks about Jesus and what he would one day do, literally hundreds of years before he showed up on the planet. The prophet Isaiah said, the servant grew up before God. A scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. Not great language about Jesus, right? There was nothing attractive about him. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, though he was thought he was scum. And this is all a picture of him at the cross. Marred. Beaten. Bloody. Unattractive. Not some muscle man, you know, who could have fought his way out of this horrific scene. But the strongest person in the universe. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried away. Our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins, mine. He took the punishment, and that made us
whole.
Through his bruises, stripes, shed blood, we are healed. The greatest miracle in the universe is not the healing of a body. It is the healing of a sin-sick soul that without God will be eternally broken and dead forever and ever and ever. And that blood that came forth through those whips and that scourging and that mocking that was shed by a lamb who went silent to his shearers. Was intentional. He knew from the moment they put the crown on his head that he already had won the victory. Before the nails ever went in his hands, he went, "I see blood dripping down my forehead. It's already done." Isaiah said they will pierce his side and from it will flow water. When he was accused and when he was mocked, it said he kept silent because he had to fulfill every word spoken through the prophet Isaiah. And at the crucifixion, we see the fulfillment of every one of these words. Isaiah went on and he said this, "We all like sheep who've wandered off. We are all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing. We've all gone our own way." And here he is, the scapegoat. The lamb who for a moment heaven saw as the goat. The rebellious one. The one riddled with sin. Your sin, my sin. In that moment, he became the bloody lamb that would release the mercy of God on your life and mine forever, and the goat who would be sent off into the wilderness to take away the sin, the scapegoat. It says, God piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong on him. So the next time the devil tries to pile everything you've done wrong on you, you need to look him in his demonic eye. And if you can't see him, at least see him in the spirit. And point your finger at him and tell him to shut his lying lips and to go talk to the one on whom it rests. Because he took it, he defeated it, he washed it away, and forever deemed you not guilty once and for all. And he defeated that liar with his blood, and there will never be a cat blood, a goat blood, or God forbid, even the blood of a human being. It makes me sick how the enemy sacrifices little children to try to get the purest blood in the universe, but every child is born into sin. There will never be blood by a human being or an animal ever again in the history of this world that will ever suffice. Jesus' blood did it all, once and for all, and we need to stand in the victory that he secured for us. Amen and amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet. If I could get some help with communion. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for redeeming my life. I thank you for making a way for every person in this world to have eternal life. There are so many that haven't received what you did for them, Lord. And as we remember right now, I pray for your sake, Jesus. And for your sake, Father, that there would be a revival, a movement of salvation in this hour, all around the world. Holy Spirit, I ask you to go and to sovereignly begin to move upon the hearts of those that have yet to encounter you. Your word is filled with scenes in the Old Testament where you, Jesus, showed up as the angel of the Lord to encounter men, sinful men. And I see that you did that often, and I'm asking you now to do that to those who they have been hurt by religion. There has been false teaching, all kinds of yokes of oppression and religion that have been put out there for people to adhere to and to perform in, and they do not bring salvation. And I ask you, Lord, in this hour to begin to encounter them. Encounter them in every continent of this world. Break the stronghold of religion off of them now and reveal the power of the Son. Reveal the power of your blood. Reveal to them now, Lord. I just pray that you would receive the reward of your suffering. Help us as believers to open our mouth more frequently, to realize that every one of us have an assignment to share the gospel. This is not just for the pastor who stands in the pulpit, but Lord, it is for us as the saints. I pray that our testimony would be heard more and more and more. And by the way, devil, I am not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus in my life and what he did for me. And I will tell it, and I will tell it, and I will tell it, and I will tell it again, and I will tell it again, and I will tell it again. What he did for me. Let's open our communion right now. I'm never good at this. Here we go. Says if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, that he shed his blood, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. Thank you. If you believe that in your heart and you confess that with your mouth, that you will be saved. So it takes two things. You believe in your heart and you say it out loud. And I'm going to help you do that. But the Bible says if you take communion and you take it just as a ritual or haphazardly, that you drink judgment onto yourself. So we don't want to do that. The Bible says many are sick among you because they do that. And the Lord doesn't want you sick, he wants you well. Amen? He wants you saved. He wants your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he wants you to be well, mind, body, and soul. And so together, we're just going to make sure. It's a decision you make. It's not just something you recite. You really need to believe in your heart. And the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin, but he will also release or reveal to you the mercy of God that you need. And in this time, we're just going to say it, believing that every person that's taking communion this morning is a believer. Amen. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. I ask you to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. And as I take this bread and I drink this cup of the new covenant that represents your blood, I declare salvation and healing over myself today. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Come on, let's take the bread and let's eat. This represents the wholeness of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, do this often in remembrance of me. He said, he took a piece of bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body that is given for you. And I want you to do it often. So today, Lord, as we took the bread, we remember what you did for us. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. He took the wine and he held it up and he said, I want you to do this often, and when you drink of the cup, I want you to remember the blood that was shed for you. I want you to remember you're no longer under the law. You're no longer under rituals and regulations. Remember what I did for you. And he did this before he actually spilled his blood. And now we're on the other side of the cross where it's already been done. They were waiting. We are receiving. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Come on, drink. Thank you, Jesus. I have one more thing I want to read to you before we leave. I wrote this about 10 years ago on a Day of Atonement. I read it then and it was just precious. I found it yesterday. Jesus says, I took all your shame and fear so you don't have to be tormented by its wicked hold. Don't listen to the lies of your past. Don't allow the devil and his voice of guilt and condemnation to convince you to give up or that you will never break free from your struggle. I offer you my love, my life, healing, and the overcoming power of my shed blood. I took all of your sins to give you all of my life in exchange. It's your time to be free from the bondage of guilt, shame, mental suffering, sickness, and disease. All you need to do is believe that freedom and healing are yours because of the blood that I shed. Receive it by faith today. Receive it by faith today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we praise and thank you for the freedom that we have in you. I thank you, Lord, for the many souls that were symbolically put on the altar today, that have already been delivered from guilt, from shame, from sickness, from addiction. I thank you, Lord, that we have a testimony with your blood that we can hold up even on their behalf before we see them fully submit. We can thank you in advance that it is already done. And God, I look forward to prodigal sons coming home, prodigal daughters coming home. I look forward to the breakthroughs and the deliverances, the spectacular victories that are going to come in this season. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, give him a big praise. We thank you, Lord. Love somebody on your way out. And if you need prayer, the team's going to be here. I will be here for a few minutes as well.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. It is because of you that this ministry is made possible. We also want to give a special thanks to those who give so generously to this ministry. If you are interested in partnering with us, click the link below in the description to give now or visit our website at soulharvestwc.org. Make sure to follow us by tapping the plus sign in the top right corner of your screen. If today's message spoke to you, please share this episode with your friends and family by clicking the share button. And don't forget to tag us on your social media at Soul Harvest WC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.